Backseat Producers, episode 224, Quadrophenia.
What did you think of that Walking Dead finale?
I thought it was terrible.
I thought it was the best episode of the season.
It was also terrible. The best episode of the season.
I thought it was terrible. I thought it was the best episode of the season.
It was so bad.
Jesus Christ. How many goddamn bullets? Or how many shells?
He's thrown away. Okay, so.
Herschel! Boom, 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 boom. It's like. What is going on?
So the show is utterly confusing to me. Okay, so the opening montage, we're like to do where the zombie horde comes from.
Yeah.
Okay, so Luke's like, oh, that was awesome because you get to see where they come from. And I'm like, Luke, they have to do that because they assume you've forgotten there are supposed to be zombies on this show. If I'm watching a zombie apocalypse show, I do not need to be reminded that there are zombies. When zombies show up, I don't need a justification. I just assume there are zombies.
Yeah.
And so far, the twist of the show is that I assume there's going to be zombies, and there aren't.
Yeah, the only thing that did was explain why there were that goddamn many of them.
And honestly, I don't really need that either. It's a farm. You guys have been shooting stuff at somewhat regular intervals.
Everything is so make it up for the plot as we go that...
Yeah, it's like, sure, okay, whatever. Now there are zombies. All right, I'm fine with it. Don't justify to me where they're. That's insulting. And then, Laurie is the worst human being on the planet. She's the utterly the worst. So, in 45 seconds, she's like, where's my son? Because I can't watch him. Where's my son? And then the woman's like, oh, don't run off after him, because if we find him, he's going to need his mom. Okay.
What?
And then she's like, Herschel, we're leaving! And Herschel's over there shooting his shotgun, like, nonstop. I don't know why he doesn't need to reload, but he's shooting his shotgun. Okay, Herschel can't hear me, let's go. So, in the span of 30 seconds, she's abandoned her son and Herschel to die. All right, let's check off. See ya. What?
And she was with T-Bone.
Yeah, she was with T-Bone.
We need to go back. Okay. Then he just turns around, like, through the ravine, and I'm like, what? No, what the hell is going on? Why are they doing a three-point turn?
No. First off, he's like, no. Well, yeah. And she's like, well, I'm just going to jump out of the car. What?
You're dumb.
T-Bone's being reasonable. Don't you be unreasonable. And then this whole, like, the end.
Hey, Scott.
When they're in that kind of, like, circular amphitheater thing, and Rick's like, if you think you'd do better, then leave. What is happening here? Like... And then that one chick's like, Daryl, you're just a flunky. And Daryl's like, I'm the most effective person here. I'm on Team Daryl. That's for goddamn sure.
Yeah.
You see Rib's like, I want to make a shirt. Shane was right about everything. Oh, man. I cannot wait for some of the prison stuff, though. Although, I really just can't wait to be disappointed.
Yeah, because it's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. And then the when McCann showed up, it was very weird. Like, she kind of has that vibe of the comics, but they never explicitly do that thing where, like, it's the cloaked figure with the zombies.
Yeah. I mean, they did it just like that the first time she showed up.
And she has that vibe, but it's never, like, built up like that. Like, it's just kind of like some of the things you accept. It's like, oh, that's kind of creepy. You know, whatever. So I'm sure they're gonna fuck that up.
Yeah, yeah.
They're gonna make her weird.
Yeah, I'm. I'm finally...
It's not already kind of weird, but...
I'm finally at a book, like 9 or 10, pretty much about what you had of Luke's.
Okay.
So...
Last thing I saw was...
They've left the prison.
The last thing, when Luke and I talked about this over AM, he's like, I cannot wait for Redacted to get redacted in the back.
Like, yes. Yep. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And
Yeah. I didn't have a problem with that character in the books, but that character in the show makes me want to chop off my own nuts. It's
so bad. The worst part about it for me was that whole sequence, not her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That was like...
That whole sequence is rough.
That hurt. That was like, oh... You could see it coming. You could see it coming a million miles away, but it was like, oh, that man, just, oh.
No one majors that died in a while.
And that was a gut punch.
And then a lot of people do. It's like, they're too safe at this prison.
Yep. Yeah, at one point, Julie's like, she had gotten through like the first 7 books.
Mm.
And she's like, I read something online. It just spoiled like 5 people dying.
Yeah.
Because I was reading about comic books. She's like, why do they have to do that? I said, you have to understand, even at the point you're at now, we're still like 3 or 4 years behind the story in the comic book. So it's not really spoiler territory.
Yeah. That's why I consume my media immediately.
Yeah, she has burned through it. I got 3 of the books from the library. She's already up to book 13. They only have up to 15 in the graphic novels.
Yeah. I keep trying to get Melina to read it. I'm like,
14 and
so
15
good.
Are coming.
She's like, the show's too bad. I'm like,
The only complaint I have about the comics, and it might be better reading it single issues, mm-hmm. is there are no transition points. It's like all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
What? They do that, and then they do stuff like showing a house and it getting light and dark and light and dark and light and dark over the course of 2 panels, so it's like, oh, 4 days have passed. Be consistent. Jesus Christ.
My complaint with reading comics. I hate wasted panels.
That kind of thing I don't have a problem with if it's part of the storytelling, if it's showing the passage of time. But then they'll just skip 3 weeks. Like, you turn the page and it's like, did I miss
3 weeks later
something?
Yeah, I don't know.
And see, they don't even tag it.
Yeah, he needs
that's
to
the problem.
He needs to reread Scott McCloud's book again on how to do time transitions.
See, modern comic storytelling, they don't. They've gone away from captions, and I think it effectively hurts something like this because it's like,
well, when you're trying to make
a big time jump, yeah,
you got to give some reason. You know, either a date and time stamp, or some sort of, say, 3 weeks later.
I mean,
later.
Generally,
give me
by
some time cue to indicate there's been a great passage of time.
Generally, within the text of the dialogue, it's something like, man, can you believe it's been 3 weeks since so-and-so died?
Or really subtle, like a calendar on the wall, they're walking by, and then in the next panel, you see the same calendar, except
or somebody's grown a huge beard.
Yeah.
Or empty cans laying on a once clean floor, or you know, something to give me indication there.
You know what I thought would be neat is if you told a story entirely based on the growth of a guy's beard,
mm-hmm.
but like the story is contained. Like at the beginning, he's clean shaven, and then at the end, he has a full, like bushy beard.
Mm.
But then you don't tell the story linear. You tell the story in pieces, and then the only thing that changes is his beard length.
Right. Do you have the indication of passing of time?
Yeah. You don't denote the time change at all. Otherwise.
And
you just note that there's a great amount of
time. In an interesting way and tell it out of order.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Out of order is the way to do it, yeah.
Yeah, you don't even need to tell it chronologically.
It sounds like the artist was just being lazy. He was either under a time pressure to get it done and he's like, okay, I'll do something stupid. Or really convenient here that doesn't require me to work too hard.
Well, AMC wanted to pay him a shitload of cash to make a TV series based off his show, so. AMC, the hell is the station? Is that AMC?
Yes.
Oh my god, and the worst thing about watching an AMC is that stupid Talking Dead they have commercials for. What are you talking about? Well, we've got some of the actors on. Who cares?
That show got so big so quick that they had to throw more content at it, and that was the best thing they could think to do.
That was not good.
Well, at least we got a couple of good things to look forward to. Game of Thrones here shortly, new Airbender series.
Oh, it's gonna be so good.
Yeah, I know they've been teasing the hell out of us for a goddamn month.
I don't have HBO, so I still haven't seen. I've seen the first episode of the first season.
Tony!
Oh, do catch up. It really gets good.
Oh my god.
The problem is HBO is stingy with streaming content.
I know.
What?
You can't stream it unless you have HBO. You're stuck. Yeah, it sucks.
But it's out on DVD, so.
Yeah, but I should probably see if I can get it from the library.
You might be able to get it from off iTunes also.
I'm not paying for it. Not considering I've already got three other streaming services that I pay for.
And then, kind of going back to the spoilers thing, I had to see Hunger Games opening weekend. Because I didn't want spoilers. Marina's like, you already read the book. And I'm like, oh, I know, but I don't want people to tell me how good it is.
Did you get a chance to see it?
No, I have not seen it yet.
You're probably going
to talk about it. I'm kind of waiting for the teenage girls to all kind of quiet down.
That's not going to happen.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean,
I would rather them squee about this than Twilight.
Because
this is a decent female role model.
Well, they've been talking about it kind of all week on the news, so.
Have you read the books?
No, I have not.
Daryl.
I kind of know the plot history of it because when I worked at Save-A-Lot, the guy there who was the reviewer, he got all that stuff for free, and he told me this, gave me pretty much a good outline of what happens in the stories.
Good, then we can talk about it. Cause
yes, I already kind of have an idea of how the plot works and everything. So.
Did he tell you that all the characters are ruined?
Yeah.
It's great. Oh my god, they get so ruined.
Well, that's the whole nature of the idea. It's a totally corrupt society that corrupts everything. What would you expect?
I don't expect anything. I'm ready, Tony. Wait, what are we talking about next week?
Next week?
Almost Famous.
Almost Famous? I gotta start showing up.
Yeah, it would help.
Keep picking gay movies.
We're talking about movies with rock and roll / music themes for the next 6 weeks.
Oh, Jesus. I'm gonna be out for the next 6 weeks.
Well, that blows your first thesis.
I have to write a thesis. That's true, too.
I will see Hunger Games here very shortly, so.
We'll probably talk about it anyway.
Yeah, I know. Go ahead. It's not going to pull it for me.
You're going to see it anyway.
I know. It doesn't.
We'll tell you what to look for.
Good.
It's Lenny Kravitz's balls.
Ooh. How about big titties?
No
big titties, damn it.
They're 12 to 18 year olds.
Damn.
And they're mostly played by 12 to 18 year olds. Except that one character who looks like she's about a 9 year old.
Rue?
Yeah. She does. She looks like she's about 9.
We'll
talk
about it at the end because some weird stuff happening with that movie. Some weird stuff happening with that movie.
All right. Hey, this is Tony.
Hey, this is Daryl.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers. Welcome. Part one of our six-part...
Yeah. We are Insecticide.
Dad.
Extravaganza.
Or Tad.
Tad. Oh, DDT.
Oh, DDT, yeah. That's true. I'm
Insecticide.
Sorry.
Insecticide. Tony, I thought you were a writer.
except, I don't call you David, so...
That's your problem. All right, so next...
Next
movie.
Week. Almost Famous.
Oh.
And then more stuff after that.
We're going to go DDP, Double Penetration.
That's true.
So, Almost Famous, I'm not really looking forward to that.
DDT, Double Devil's Triangle.
Oh, why would you want that? Four dudes and two chicks? Five dudes and one chick? No. Math on that does not work out.
No.
Even allowing for double quantity, the math just does not work out.
No. Right. Let's move on from that quickly.
Yeah, let's move on from that quickly. So, what is the name of this movie?
Quadrophenia.
There it is. I cannot, for the life of me, remember the name of this movie. All right, so here's my high-level review. I generally like The Doors. This movie makes me hate The Doors. That's how bad this movie is.
Except this wasn't The Doors.
It was The Who.
It was The Who.
Whatever.
The Who, The Doors, yeah, what does it matter?
The band that lends their music to all the CSI shows.
I don't watch those shows, Tony, because I'm better than you.
The intro song, I don't watch them either.
Well, then we're better than someone else.
That's, yes. Agreed.
But whatever, old British band, Doors, The Who, hell, Led Zeppelin, it's all the same thing. Rush.
Daryl, what'd you think?
I think I need to slap him upside the head.
Yeah.
What I thought, this movie was kind of hard to watch, but I still slogged my way through it, and sort of liked it. The music was kind of interesting. Considering this was another in the series of The Who's rock operas.
Yeah, it was. I found this movie almost unwatchable at points. I understand what they were going for.
Mm-hmm.
I do. But this movie was trying so hard. It seemed to be trying so hard to be a...
period piece.
No, it's
trying to be so hard to be the personification of the fan, like what the music was about, that the irony was that trying so hard was so anti the feel they were going for.
No, it almost seemed like somebody just had such a hard-on for A Clockwork Orange.
Yes.
That it felt like they were trying to capture the vibe of Clockwork Orange and meld it with the music of The Who and the themes in the album Quadrophenia.
They were trying to take me on a voyage, only they were not taking me on a voyage.
No, we're just like, following around.
This guy's not doing anything. And then I saw his dong like 15 minutes in. I'm like,
there was a lot of dong.
If I'm going to see some dong, then I need to see an equivalent amount of female nudity later to make up for it.
Yes.
Guess what?
None.
Even after I started skipping ahead in 5-minute increments. I didn't see
anything. Even the part where they are actively having sex on screen, there's no female nudity.
No, it's like the two of them like take up maybe 5% of the screen, and then the rest of it's an alley. And I'm like, what
is going on?
And there's a riot. Fair warning, I did start about 45 minutes in. I started skipping ahead 5-minute intervals, and I'm like, I'm not missing anything.
No,
there were scenes that were overly long.
Yes.
They dwelled on way too much.
Yeah,
and tracking shots.
Yeah, they loved the 360 perspective where they just take the point of Cooper and go all the way around the room till they're back at Cooper and he's doing the same thing he was after that 30-second scroll through the room, and then he does something.
It sounds like at points they were trying to burn screen time. All the mods get on the scooters and go for a tour around London. Okay, we just had about a 10-minute long here tracking shot of them buzzing up and down the highway.
Yeah,
looking for trouble.
The biggest problem I have with this movie is the editing. It could have been cut down to
about an hour and a half, easily.
I would say probably 45 minutes to an hour.
Well, and one thing they kind of missed...
I understand they were trying to capture the vibe.
Well, yeah, but they're
the
trying
vibe
to, they're trying
wasn't
to,
that interesting.
Well, they're trying... That's the problem here. You know, they were trying to capture the moment of history when you had two conflicting groups here, the mods and the rockers. And they only kind of just tangentially got into it here between the conflict between the mods and the rockers. But they never really explained why the mods and the rockers were at each other's throats like they were. Just kind of a superficial...
I watched 45 minutes of this movie. I don't even know what the fuck those two things are.
The mods were Cooper's group of scooter riders. Cooper, the main dude. We haven't talked about acting yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh my God, that guy was fucking Christian Bale.
In a good way?
No. He looked like Christian Bale. He acted like Christian Bale.
By the way, this movie wins the award for most actors who look like other people award, but who are not actually those other people. His buddy looks just like one of the Weasley twins.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn, it's Fred or George.
Sting was in it, to be fair.
As Ace.
But
yeah, but I didn't think he looked like Sting.
He wasn't supposed to.
Well, just saying. That's not one of the people.
Yeah.
I know Rush is Canadian. God damn it.
Scott's got to defend his homeland.
Whatever.
again, the track that was started to get, they missed out on trying to capture that moment in history of why these two groups were at each other. You know, what was their... What was the vibe between them, other than the fact that they didn't... The mods were against the rockers and the greasers, whatever they call them, because they didn't look good. You know, they liked a different form of the music. They rode motorcycles, not scooters. They didn't dress fairly nice. And
this conflict was far more interesting in The Outsiders.
Right.
When it was the Socs and the
dongs.
Yeah. No, the mods were the ones we saw their dongs.
I did see their dongs.
It was a lot of dong in that one scene. It was like, man.
You know how Spartacus has a lot of dong in it?
I've heard that. I have not seen it.
You remember Two Towers, the elf general who shows up?
Yeah.
You see that dude's penis for a long time. Then he's going to do one chick, then she gets killed, and then he's going to do another chick. All the while you see his dong. It's like a 7-minute scene.
Jesus.
7 minutes of dong.
There wasn't quite 7 minutes of dong in this movie, but...
Well, there was two, so that doubles the time.
There were three. You could barely see the one because the water was this weird, cloudy consistency. It's like, dude, you need to bathe more often.
I just assume that's how all British people bathe.
Yeah, the greasers and the Socs.
It was kind of fun to see some of the slice of life stuff that was going on at that time. And
fun is not the word I would use.
Well, it looks back at a period of time in London, you know, when right before the Beatles became the huge phenomenon that they were, and kind of started, and the oncoming of the second British invasion.
I have no rebuttal.
Yeah, it was it's a period in time that I'm not interested in.
Yes.
It doesn't interest me. It has no cultural relevance to me.
Oh, Tony, just because it's an old movie and you can't put yourself in the time.
No, it has nothing to do with being an old movie. It has to do with...
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. When did you turn into the Herbal Derbal T-Rex over there? Yeah. So Lana says no boobs. That was weird. And today you can't find hardly any dong, but tons of boobs.
Yeah.
I guess the question is, where do you come down on that?
I like to see an equal distribution of dong and boob, because otherwise it's just weird. Because like if it's not equal, then it's like something weird is happening.
The '80s was mostly boob
and ridiculous bush.
Yeah.
Like creepy bush, like hedgehog bush. You're like, whoa, what is... Let's go back to dog.
I need to mix a buffet.
It just looks awkward without the other. Naked people are meant to be together.
Together.
Inside each other. Both ways, Tony.
Okay.
Both ways. So, from what I saw of this movie, it was a lot of walking around talking. At one point, mm-hmm. there was a riot, and I was like, oh... I can't justify going back, but I'm sure whatever started this riot was awesome. Was it?
No. There was a progenesis of it when they were driving to riding up to Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
One of the mods got singled out by the rockers, and they crashed him and his bike. When they got to Brighton, they get all tore up and everything else, and then they suddenly. One of the group of the mods spots the rocker who ran him off the road. And because they're all in a group, they're all drunk and everything else, they decided, well, you know, we're the mods, and they get together and psych themselves up and attack them.
That was a weird, like, soccer chant dance thing mm-hmm. they were doing together. We're the mods. It was like they were, like, singing and hopping and holding mm-hmm. each other.
Yeah, they were just sitting there psyching themselves up.
Any organization that would ever do that I was a part of, I would leave immediately.
Yeah.
Well, they were all kind of caught up in the moment, though.
Sounds like rape justification.
Mm-hmm. Well, the same things happened at these soccer games with the so-called soccer hooligans. They all get pumped
it's like
themselves
you're
up.
The screen.
They pump themselves up and
to a frenzy. First off, soccer's a sport of men. I don't know where I'm going with that.
Yeah. So Scott nails it. This is a cast made up of ugly British people.
Have you ever seen a British movie that produces attractive people? Ones that Hugh Grant is not in.
No, that's...
Even well, Hugh Grant is weird looking. He's a weird, like, Stonehenge face.
Well, that's just... He does. The mods were just... were working class kids. I mean, they weren't the good looking ones or anything else. They were just, you know, the product of that generation.
See, the thing is I didn't understand the angst. I just didn't get the angst.
Right, they dropped, because, they missed that whole thing entirely.
Because, all right, so I understand the concept of a working class community. I've heard Bruce Springsteen songs, so mm-hmm. I know how this works.
You know what, the real America.
That's right. I was born in the USA, goddammit.
Christ, Springsteen so much.
But then this kid has a job.
Right.
You know?
He's two? Doesn't he go to... Oh, no.
He only had one. He worked in a mailroom.
Yeah, he worked in a mailroom for business. Presumably, yeah, it was a crappy corporate type job, but he had a job.
And the thing
he
about
was
it is
making
like,
money.
The thing about
he
that was, is that there's a perennial theme there that is universal. I'm working a shit job because I'm young. Like, that's an easy connection point for everyone.
Yeah.
No, that's a missed opportunity. No one cannot relate to that.
Right, exactly. And the angst he has over it seems misplaced because he comes from this working class community that this seems to be so much a better starting place yes. than everybody else is surrounding him. It's like, why? Yes, it's a crappy job, but it's a crappy job. If you came from a better community,
yeah.
This is actually like your ticket out.
This is
dumbass.
You are the most angsty about a better job than everyone you know has.
Yes.
So, and then like the scene in the bathroom where he's thrown up and coughing and hacking, like what is happening in this scene? And then like he starts smoking again. And the guy's like, lung cancer. I'm like, is that a joke?
Well, that was kind of a joke. They're all sitting there talking about their ad campaign for a new cigarette. And the one of the execs says, you know, I'm glad I quit. What do you think about all this cancer scare stuff? And he callously replies, you know, the young kids, they don't care. You know, they just keep buying the stuff if we keep selling.
So that was a joke?
Well, it's rather cynical.
All right.
There, I'll agree with you. There's a lot of these things in this movie that miss the target by a wide margin. Some of it just don't work. It could have used a lot better editing. It could have used a lot better dialogue too.
Could use a story.
It could. Yeah, this is the big problem with it. It doesn't really have a plot. It's more of a series of slice of life character studies. That are just strung together.
So about half an hour in, I'm like, all right, so the plot of this movie is he's going to bang that chick. Right?
Well, he keeps trying.
Yeah.
Does he ever bang that chick?
Yes, he does. Yes. All
right. Yeah, that's the chick
in the alley. See? I should have kept watching.
I mean, she's a total tease. I mean, she's either on him or off him or doing everything else.
Her character is so...
It's Laurie from The Walking Dead!
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's like this movie hated her. It really did. No, it was just her. Because it really wasn't that they hated women. Because
he was making out with that rat face chick at the beginning.
That's true.
Well, that's just it. She's all
and
over
that,
him.
And see, that was weird too. Because he's like making out with her, and he keeps and she clearly sees it. But she's upset when he gets up and leaves.
Yeah. So, then I was like, all right, so maybe I can get... Maybe I'm starting to get the humor of this movie. Because, like, he kept looking at that other chick that was making out with the first chick. I'm like, all right, that's pretty funny. But then, like, it didn't go anywhere
That's not ironic.
Yeah. So it didn't go anywhere with it, so I thought it was 100% accidental. And I'm like, if a movie's accidentally funny, then it's not really that funny to me.
No. No, it was sad funny. Oh...
That was the most unappetizing sex scene I've ever seen. Yes.
Grunting and banging her against the alley wall.
Then I was looking at the alley.
Now she does have a headache.
Yeah. Yeah, afterward. Yeah, this movie was rough.
Yeah, you have to really slog your way through it. Oh, stumbling over the dialogue, the slang terms, and
you know, we made the conscious choice to watch this movie versus The Wall.
Mm-hmm.
I think we chose poorly. I think we chose poorly because The Wall is weird and
yeah, but it's a rock
and
opera,
trippy and artsy, but as weird and trippy and artsy and screwed up as The Wall is, it has a far more linear and consistent story than this movie could hope to have. I mean, I've listened to a lot of rock operas. I listen to progressive metal, mm-hmm. and
well, Queensryche was pretty. When we did the Queensryche episode, that was a pretty decent rock opera. Too bad it's never been made into a movie or even a stage play.
Well, they've done an, like the full stage performance, mm-hmm. of Mindcrime 1 and 2, and they've actually got with the guy who, I think one of the guys who did Rent, mm-hmm. and he's actually licensed to make a Operation Mindcrime Broadway production. That would be wonderful if they could do that. Mm-hmm. And it would have so much more story than something like this.
Well, it's a funny thing.
It seems like, and admittedly, I have not listened to Quadrophenia, the album.
Right.
So I don't have
a reference
that,
point.
Yeah, I don't have that reference point. But if this is based on that album, mm-hmm. it seems like that album was more a concept album than a rock opera, because there is no story. Oh. There is a theme to this whole mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah.
But there's no story here.
No, right. That's a big problem with it. There is no plot. It's just a bunch of slice of life episodes loosely strung together.
I like my slice of life in anime or nowhere else. If Japanese culture is weird enough to sustain slice of life, no other culture is weird enough. The Japanese culture is weird. So Hunger Games was awesome.
I had problems with the Hunger Games.
Oh, come on, Tony!
I thought it was a good movie.
It's a great movie.
I would not call it a great movie. I thought the two best parts of The Hunger Games were Woody Harrelson,
yes.
and Lenny Kravitz.
Yes! I'm actually okay with both of those things.
I would have... What I would love to see, and I will, like, write the author and say, please write this story or let me, is take those two characters, and I want to see those two characters go through a progression of, like, three or four Hunger Games at some point in the future... So at some point in... previous to this okay. one, and just show the heartbreak and the agony and the pain of getting these kids and having to prepare them, knowing there ain't no way in hell they're going to live. They'll be dead within the next 2 weeks. And just to see that, because we'll also kind of see how Woody Harrelson's character goes from being this hero to being a drunken asshole.
Okay. So Lenny Kravitz's character is perfect. He was perfect. He was the perfect personification of Cinna from the books. Perfect. He nailed it spot on. Woody Harrelson, I would have preferred to be drunker and angrier.
I've heard that. I've not read the book, so
he was a little too pliant, because he and Katniss hate each other like all the time. And it is awesome. Woody puts his foot up. I almost peed my pants.
I liked what they did in the movie, but I have no frame of reference from the book.
Right.
So
right.
I thought it was great. I really dug that character, but I haven't seen that character any other way.
Yeah, if you read the books, he's actually more complex.
And that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of complaints. I have a lot of minor complaints. But before I get to those, have you seen this whole thing where, like, people are complaining that making Rue and Thresh black ruined the movie?
I don't,
because they had to diversify
that.
It from the books, but like they're black in the books.
I don't get
that either.
It makes sense that you have districts that might
different
have
locations around the world, and people are different colors. I'm actually that's kind of the way things are now. So
yeah, yeah.
People you know, in the Middle East and down south are brown.
I watched a good portion of Caprica, and they in Caprica, they...
Yeah, the different planets.
The different planets are the different colonies. And basically, the colony that Adama originally comes from is basically Russian. Mm-hmm. And like, his family's the Russian mob. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you can say they're stereotyping those people as Russians and the Russian mob, but you know what? That's a stereotype I can relate to and understand, and it...
It's fine.
It means you don't have to explain all that.
Rue was black and ruined the movie.
No. What? What? I mean, it would be... You know what? It would have ruined the movie if Rue would have been like, we only need to get the chicken and the watermelon.
Yeah,
that would have been
so terrible.
That would have been bad.
And second off, what I don't like,
Rue was the character was so awesome.
Yeah, I don't like, understand the first racism time you see at her. All. Like, that chick's black, she sucks. What?
That doesn't make any sense.
It takes so much energy to hate. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, and the character was awesome.
Yeah, the character was awesome. So was Thresh.
Yeah,
because he was a giant and he was awesome.
He was huge.
Yeah.
So, just this time,
yeah,
for Rue.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was great.
So I have my big complaint with the movie. I have one major complaint with the movie, and that's when what happens to Rue happens to Rue, and she does her thing.
Mm-hmm.
They show what happens in District 11, and that is terrible. They should not have done that. I don't like the fact that they broke the first person. Immersion, like when we talked about in Taxi Driver, where you never see anything that happens outside of Travis Bickle, except for that one scene. The scene with District 11 is that one scene in this movie.
It's
totally out of place. It should not be in here at all.
But there was a number of scenes that we shouldn't have seen if we kept it strictly with Katniss's first person perspective.
And it's all the stuff from the game's headquarters. And
but you know
what?
That was actually... I liked that. Because that gave me a feel...
Bridge.
That gave me a feel for the greater world. Mm. Because we couldn't... Because they made the wonderful decision not to have Katniss narrate the whole thing.
Oh my God, that would have been horrible.
Because to explain the world what's going
she's
on.
She's terrible. Yeah, that was necessary. Fireballs are flying out of somewhere. Like, that's a good bridge. That's a nice way to draw people in and they kind of get them in.
Plus, it kind of gave me a feel for that Seneca character. I actually liked, and I think he would be a really nice foil character in this alternate story that I'm talking about. Because
the satiated games.
They say that, you know, he's this is like his third or fourth time doing it. So it's like, start the story with his first time and have them...
Right,
kind of show his progression up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Show how Senna and
Haymitch,
how those characters have kind of developed, and just the crappy life that has to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about it, that sucks.
Yep.
It's a really crappy job to be saddled with.
I thought everything was fantastic. I thought the chick who played Katniss was great. She doesn't really do much. Like,
she was Mystique in X-Men First Class.
Okay. No, I mean, aside from the narration, she does all the awesome stuff she does, but one of the best things about the movie is that they don't... It's a strong female heroine that they do not force a traditional female gender role on.
No, they don't.
They don't ever compromise. Like, they don't ever make her reluctant and then cry when she has to do something. Like, once she gets into the game, she's all business.
Yeah.
She's all business, and that's...
She was all business before the games.
Yeah.
And that character, it was a natural progression for that character.
Yeah, and it's...
The only thing, I thought there was a few points where it was like, they could have had just a little tighter editing. She looked at things a lot. There was a couple of scenes where she just looked at
things. The books is her looking at stuff and thinking, and her thinking is terrible.
Given that, maybe that was fan service for the books, because when she's looking at that wall and she looks, and then she changes it and looks, and changes it and looks, and then kind of smiles a little bit and keeps looking, then changes it back. It's like, oh, Jesus.
Everything with her is so slow, and she's very dumb. Like, I love the interactions with PETA and Haymitch. I actually would have liked to see more of that. Because PETA and Haymitch are awesome. Like, they cook up this plot, like, on the train, and then they manipulate Katniss into doing all this stuff, and she's so dumb that she doesn't see what's happening.
That's awesome.
And then, like, it takes her to almost the end of the games to figure out what they're doing. And, like, the entire time, when they get the gifts in the arena, in the book, they don't get a note. That was just put in there for
Yeah, Julie said that, too.
So she has to figure out what Haymitch is trying to tell her. And, like, I just get the impression the entire time that, like, Peeta and Haymitch cooked up that plan, like, the romance plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just imagine the entire time, since they're always being watched, he can't say anything. Were you just giving her the eye? Fuck. She's so dumb. It's great.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. Lana said, since I didn't really know the story, I kept thinking when Katniss and Peeta returned to their district, it would have been decimated. Just because they were pissed.
This is why I'm so upset about putting that District 11 scene in there, because the beginning of the next book, they kind of travel around and visit the other places, and then they see kind of the aftermath of what they've done. They deal with the consequences of decisions they've made.
It's not a... really a big spoiler, because if you look at the description for Catching Fire, because I actually looked at the description for the book, which, you know, was good that I actually waited till after I saw the movie, because it, like, it was a big spoiler, because only one person's supposed to win.
Yep.
But it was basically saying they find themselves the faces, reluctantly find themselves faces of a revolution that they don't really have any stake in.
Molina's like, the two-person thing was just a cop-out. And I'm like, it's a cop-out if they get away with it and there's no consequences. But there are serious consequences to what they have done.
I don't think...
And they are going to suffer horribly for it. It's going to be so awesome.
I don't see that as a cop-out. I saw people saying, oh, she's having this romance with him. Did you see the same movie I did? Because it was clearly a fabricated romance and she knew it. When he grabbed her hand and held it up, she's like, what the fuck are you doing? The look she gave him was like, are you serious over here? So I didn't get that. I actually thought people weren't watching the emoting that she was doing, because I thought she actually did that really well. Like, When there were things that disgusted her.
Really corny. Yeah, like, you're they're supposed to. That's the point.
Yeah,
like,
they're awkward.
Yeah, she's awkward.
Well, and Haymitch even calls her on it. You call that a kiss?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean...
it doesn't get any clearer than that.
No, it really doesn't. So, you're going to enjoy the movie.
I am. I'm going to be looking at all this stuff now.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's a good movie, but the hype... I don't think it's lived up to this the hype that was presented
before. Does
any
movie like this ever live up to the hype?
I think there are some that do.
Lord of the Rings did. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings was fantastic.
Lord of the Rings
every time I watch it, I'm like, it can't be as good as I remember, but goddamn it is.
It is. It really is.
Same with Indiana Jones and Back to the Future.
And The Dark Knight.
Oh, God, Dark Knight is so good. So... I think a lot of why I like it is that they didn't pander and sell out a lot of stuff that they need going forward. Like, I'm trying to think. Actually, Harry Potter is a pretty good example.
Yeah.
Like, with Harry Potter 6, they sold out the book, but not in a better way. Like, they didn't change things in the 6th movie to leave them a more appropriate ending in the 7th.
Right.
So, that was a bad trade-off. But, like, Watchmen, they changed the ending. It was a good trade-off, because that ending would not have worked
in
the movie. Because that ending was too woven into the story
to work. Yeah, it was. It was... The comic book ending of Watchmen was appropriate for the comic book. For the comic book and the story they were telling at that time.
Yes.
Even though it's a period movie,
right?
The time that they were telling the story in, it made more sense.
Right.
That story doesn't fly quite as well in the
2000s. Yeah, the medium is different.
The medium is different.
You have to adjust.
You have to adjust, and they did
for
it really
an audience
well.
That is not receptive to that style.
And to be fair,
when the books came out in 88, 89, we were a whole lot closer to 1985 when it was supposed to be set.
Yeah.
I mean,
nuclear war, that could be, that still could be a thing.
Yeah. We, the Berlin Wall hadn't fallen when this book came out. When the print book came out. So
I have never had a legitimate fear of a nuclear war.
And I have, but I'm a little bit older. So
a little bit older.
A little bit older. Come on. Just a little bit. Not as old as I will be 2 days from now.
So. I know. Are you excited?
41. It's just another number.
So no.
If somebody wants to buy me shit, I'll be really excited.
But you aside, I'm not even going to be out here. I'll take you to trivia.
I'll see you Saturday. But
wish you were coming to a game day.
Yeah.
Ooh, they ran Marvel for me, and I was like, I don't want to play this. Then I played it, and I'm like, ooh.
Is it fun? Did you have a good time on that?
Yeah, it's... We played Colossus, Wolverine, and Cyclops.
I heard you guys all did the Batman
all
voice.
All did the Batman voice.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, when I saw that you guys were doing that, I was like, oh, I want to go.
Some of the stuff is so ridiculous, too. Like, you get experience for character-based milestones.
Yeah.
So, like, for Colossus, anytime your Russian inheritance comes up into the scene, when does that come up? Whenever you solve a problem using your Russian farming knowledge.
That's awesome.
I throw Wolverine over my shoulder like a sack of potatoes.
That's Russian farming knowledge.
So ridiculous.
Wow. Alright. I don't have anything else to talk about.
No, I'm really excited for Game of Thrones, though. Woo! Tony. Lots of nudity in Game of Thrones. The ratio of dong to boob is pretty one-sided, though.
Is it?
It's mostly boob. Actually, it's mostly naked chick dong.
And lots of swords and blood and guts and fucking and you name it.
That appeals to me. Backstabbing and crazy people. And Peter Dinklage. Such a small guy, but there's so much Peter Dinklage.
That the one episode I saw was really good.
Was it him really being awesome?
Good. Well, it was the one guy. He went up to the one guy, and I don't remember the exact exchange, but the guy said something about, "Yeah, I'm the bastard son." And he goes, "Every dwarf is a bastard in his father's eyes." It was like, "Oh, that's a sick short person burn."
Oh my god, it is!
It was so good. It was just like. It was like, just shut up. I don't even want to hear your shit right now.
He's so good.
Just established him right from the beginning. Is just don't even.
His
character
is so well written, too. He's so awesome.
Yes, he sort of steals the show.
Yeah, he really does. This is the season when things get weird, too.
So this will be the second book? Are they doing each season a book?
They're supposed to.
I think they were going to split it 2 seasons per book after Game of Thrones. So, God Cock. There's going to be 2 seasons. Game of Thrones, Clash of Kings.
Gotcha.
Goddamn, the opening is the best.
Yeah, someone published there's a key to understanding the openings as to which scenes, which characters are going to be featured.
You've read the books, right?
No, I've not read the books.
All right. Because I know where people are from.
You know, the thing is, in the opening scene where all the clockwork mechanisms are going...
Yeah, they show the crests.
Right. Whatever crest comes up in there is where character is going to be featured that week.
That makes sense.
In that episode. So
that's pretty cool the way they do it.
I like shows that are creative within their intro, that they're not afraid to make it different each time. Like, it started for me with Battlestar.
Yep.
The countdown. The survivors.
The countdown was great. I hated the way they did the flashes from the episode.
Oh, yeah. To, like, preview the episode?
Yeah, I don't want a preview for the episode I'm going to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hated that, but
if they would have done that...
The countdown was great.
The countdown was awesome. I especially liked the episode when the baby was born, and the next episode, it was one higher. That was awesome. But, I mean, there's even some comedies that do fun stuff with it. Community. The little drawings. The drawings are different. We watched Cougar Town, which is not that good this season. But every time they change the title card
Frasier did that same kind of thing.
I walked out of the set of Cougar Town, Jeff. I was a character. Side of the show. And then when they called cut, I was done. I didn't know what to do. So I laid down. Not embarrassed to tell you, Jeff. I pooped myself.
they actually did... So, they brought Sarah Chalk, is that her name, from Scrubs? She's on the show. This past week's episode...
Well, she's not doing anything else.
No. They had the guy who played Ted from Scrubs. He and his barbershop quartet were coming through town, and his character's name was Ted.
That's great.
And at the end of the episode, like that last little sequence, he's like, "This is so weird. Everybody here looks like people from my old job. You were the nice one, and you were the bitchy one. You were so mean to me." And she said something. She's like, "Just like that." And then said, she did that little hair flip thing. He's like, "And you did that. It's so weird." And then, what's his name? The old chief of surgery.
Oh, I don't remember his name.
But he plays Courtney Cox's dad in the show. He's been in, he walks in, he's like, "Hey, where is she?" And he's like, "Oh, God!" And then JD walks in as a pizza guy. It was pretty good. Kelso, about that time, yeah, Kelso. All
right, I'm out of here. I got a book to read.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week. Good luck, Friday.
We'll see.
I'm actually, my library has it. I'm picking it up tomorrow.
I have an Apple TV, Tony. Therefore, I have almost every movie at my fingertips.
Congratulations.
I know. It's great being me.